Ezras Hashem, we're starting the Parsha Shir for this week. It's Parsha's Kisavo. It's Yud Beis Elul Tov Shinayin Zion, corresponding with the English calendar, September 4th, 2017. And we're going to begin at the beginning of the Parsha. If you follow along in your art school Chumash, it's 1068. And we're going to start at the beginning of the parasha, and we're going to read the beginning of the story of Bikurim. The beginning starts as follows. There's a mitzvah that when the Jewish people have settled in Eretz Yisrael, that there's a mitzvah once a year to bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. Bikurim are the first fruits. Bikurim, the time of Bikurim on the calendar would be the time of the holiday of Shavuos. That is the time of the month of Sivan. And it's a time where there's a tremendous amount of festivity when it's brought. It's a time when there is a tremendous amount of rejuvenation, spiritual rejuvenation, when Jewish people all over Eretz Yisrael come to Yerushalayim in throngs. In a form of a parade, they come from their community in a form of a parade, being led by a musician, singing and dancing to Yerushalayim with the baskets of the first fruit to be offered before the Mizbeach and given to the Kohanim. Let's read this interesting story, this interesting mitzvah, that took place during the Beis HaMikdash, and maybe to an extent we do fulfill this mitzvah in different ways. So let's read on the Pasuk as it begins, V'hoya ki salvo el horetz. It will be when you will come to the land, Asher Hashem Elokecha nosen lecha, nachlo, which Hashem, your God, has given you as a portion, v'rishto v'yashavta bo, and you will inherit it, and you will settle in it. V'lokachto mereshes kol pri ha'adam, and you will take from the first fruit of the land, Asher tovi mi'artzacha, that will come from your ground, from Asher Hashem Elokecha nosen lecha, which Hashem, your God, has given to you, v'samto batena, and you shall put the first fruit in a basket, v'alachta el hamokam asher yivcha Hashem alekecha l'shaken shmei sham, and you shall go to the place which Hashem has chosen there to arrest His name, there, which is the Beis HaMikdash. The details are not said in the pasuk, and there's lots of halacha that's tied in with this, where you have to, for the farmer who has from the seven species of fruit of Eretz Yisrael is praised for, and in terms of the fruit, we're not talking about the grain of the seven, but the fruit itself is referring to the grapes, figs, olives, pomegranates, and what did I leave out? Did I say dates? I think I said
figs,
dates.
Grapes, pomegranates.
Right, and pomegranates. I'm trying to remember the other one. Okay, I just slipped my mind. Okay, and the seven species, when they start budding, then the owner of the farm will take a red thread and tie it around the first buds that have come out of the trees, and then later when they are fully developed and they're ripened, he'll know which ones ripened first, and that he cuts off, puts them into a basket, and he joins all the other neighboring farmers, and together they make this tremendous parade going to Yerushalayim. Let's move on in the pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Vasel akarin, and you will come to the kohen asher b'yom ha'mehem, that will be in those days. V'amarta elav, and you will say to him the following: He gathered hayoyim l'Hashem elakecha, ki v'asi el oz asher nishba Hashem l'aviseinu l'aseis lanu. What will you say to him? And you say to him that I declare today to Hashem, your God, that I have come to the land that Hashem has swore to our forefathers to give to us. But Lakach HaKayan, then after he says this, the Kayan takes the tenem yadecha, and the Kayan will take the basket from your hand, v'yinicha lefnei mizbach Hashem alekecha, and will place before Hashem your God, v'anisa v'amartu lefnei Hashem alekecha, and at that point you shall call out and say before Hashem your God the following: Arami oived avi, Lavan harami attempted to kill my father, vayered mitzrayma, and he, Yaakov Avinu, was of course referring to Yaakov, who was the father. Lavan harami wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu. And then Yaakov had gone down to Egypt, Vayogasham b'Semaot, and he sojourned there with a few people, v'yisham l'gaygadol atzim v'rav. And it became a very powerful nation. Vayoreu oisan ha-mitzriyim, vayanunu, and the Egyptians have hurt us, have done bad to us, and they have pained us, oppressed us. Vayitnu aleinu avodah kasha, and put upon us difficult work. Vaynitzak al Hashem, we cried out to Hashem, alakev yisenu, to the God of our fathers. Vayishma Hashem eskaleinu, and he heard our voice. Vayaris enyenu, and he saw our persecution, as amaleinu, and our toil, as lachetzenu, and our troubles, that we were so oppressed. And then finally Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Biyad Chazakh, Zorin Netuyah, B'mer Gadol, with a strong hand, an outstretched arm, and with a tremendous fear, which is an awesome fear that he put on the nation, to Ba'isis with a Mavsim, and with signs and miracles. And then finally he said, we came to this place, and we thank Hashem for the lamb. Now, there's something strange about this whole recitation that takes place in the Beis Hamikdash. You want to go and thank Hashem for the basket of fruit that was grown in your farm. There seems to be something superfluous and needs to be explained. In thanking Hashem for the fruit and for the land that He has given us, all of a sudden He throws in the thought that Lavan Arami tried to kill us. If you go back to Pasuk Hey, it says the following: "Vanisa v'amarto lefnei Hashem alekecho." You have it there, and you shall, at that point, call out and say to Hashem, your God, Arami Ayvid Avi, love an Arami, try to kill my father. Vayered Mitzrayma, and he, Yaakov, went down to Mitzrayim, Vayogasham b'Mesemot, and he sojourned there with a very small number of people. Why was it necessary to mention about love an Arami? Like, how is that part of the service of thanking Hashem? Why was that necessary? You want to thank Hashem for the delicious fruit? Then enjoy the fruit and thank Hashem. Make a bracha. Make a bracha.
Because that was part of the plot, the destiny, the trigger. The trigger,
yes,
of the whole evolution of of the
Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Yes, that's how it started. If it didn't, it has to start that way.
Truthfully speaking, if you want to really be critical about the history of the Jewish people coming to Mitzrayim, it started with Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
Yosef HaTzadik was kidnapped by his brothers and sold as a slave, and that created the evolution of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Mm-hmm. So why did he start there?
What's going on over here with love and around me? Like, it's a piece of history, but why was it necessary? Let's take it a step further. Do you understand the question, though? Mm-hmm. Let's take it a step further. At the beginning of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, after the four questions are asked, not long after, the Haggadah describes the history of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he puts the same words in Arami Oved Avi, in thanking Hashem for Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? He throws in a bit of history that is not really, apparently, pertinent to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim happened many years later, after the episode when Lavan Harami tried to kill Yaakov. It wasn't anywhere nearby. It wasn't close by. The Jewish people were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. This episode of Lavan Harami, right, took place just about when Yosef was born, even before Binyamin was born. That was the time, if you remember the Chumash, the episode in the Chumash, where Yaakov fled from Laban because he was afraid he'll steal everything that he owned. Rachel, his daughter, stole the trophim, the idols, so that Lavan shouldn't know where they were fleeing to, because he knew through magic where people are through the power of the Trophim. And that was the point that the Torah mentions that Lavan and Rami wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu. So, but how is that an integral part of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we mention in the Agada? And how is that an integral part of thanking the Jewish Hashem for the Bikurim, for the delicious fruit that, or the first fruit in Eretz Yisrael? So I would like to suggest the following answer. And the answer is that in praising Hashem for Yetzias Mitzrayim, for that matter, for the Bikur, for the first fruit, it's extremely necessary that we recognize the bigger picture of what the Jewish people have gone through, even if it's history that's not immediate, and to recognize the alternatives that could have taken place. Let me further explain. Lavan Arami, on his agenda, was planning to kill Yaakov until Hashem warned him, take care, behave, take care of yourself. Don't you talk to my Yaakov, whether bad or good. What the alternatives were? Had he succeeded, then we, the Jewish people, wouldn't be around to bring Bikurim. We, the Jewish people, wouldn't be around to witness the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whenever we want to truly thank Hashem, and for that matter, really anybody, to really deeply feel a feeling of gratitude, you must take into consideration the alternative that could have otherwise happened. In the case of Lavan Arami, he wanted to kill Yaakov. If he would have killed Yaakov and his family, then we wouldn't be here. Rashi does say a very important word. He says, when you go and say and declare about Lavan Arami, you have to say the following. Let's look at the Rashi, a very important three-worder. It's in Pasuk Gimel, Rashi. It's actually three lines from the bottom.
Sure, yeah.
It says, She'eincha v'marta elav. Try the next bold words below. V'marta elav, She'eincha kofoy tova. You say to Hashem, I am not an ingrate. An ingrate is a terrible person. A person who takes and doesn't show his gratitude. We have to show Hashem that we are not ingrates, that we took and we have taken and we are grateful. And the way you can show and feel gratitude is by taking into consideration the alternative. Let's become a little bit more contemporary. A person went through a serious operation. Let's say he went through a kidney transplant. Or he went through a heart transplant. And he's davening before that operation that the Hashem should give him refuah shleima. And that he should succeed. That he should succeed through that operation. The gratitude that that person has after the operation is over, and the doctor, the surgeon says to him, the surgery was a success. Even the people who sat Tehillim with him and beside him and were waiting in the waiting room to see what the doctor had to say, who were also nervous like anything, and they were distressed to know that a sibling or a relative or even a close friend is going through major surgery, a heart transplant, a kidney transplant. And the doctor walks out of that room and says, Baruch Hashem, it was a successful operation. Do you know what kind of simcha? Because the people there could feel the alternative. That's the reason why here in Parshas Kisavo, by the mitzvah of Bikurim, we throw in seemingly a pasuk that seems to be out of place. Talks about love and Arami. And then we go on and thanking Hashem for the land. The answer is because that's the only way you can thank Hashem for the land. Because if love had succeeded, then we wouldn't be here today. So the same way, in my example, that the ill person who went through a kidney transplant, or the relative and parents and friends who are also full of distress and prayed and hoped that this would be a successful operation, boy, did they walk away with gratitude. Because they knew the alternatives. The very fact that the fellow got a match to his kidney is probably a half a miracle. How many people are looking for kidneys and they can't? What should I tell you? I had a student of mine, I'm going back almost 40 years, who walked around with a little thing in his pants, clipped to his pants. It was was a catheteroid stuck to his system. And he had to empty out the pouch every so often. He couldn't go to the washroom because his kidneys were damaged. But what happened, maybe 14, 15 years later, they finally got a kidney transplant. There's only one problem. There was so much damage done because of the years of no healthy kidney that the operation was a success. But he died, I think it was a heart attack, because his body couldn't handle the trauma. So, you understand, when we think about life that way, then we have what to thank. That's why Asher Yatzar, for example, the bracha of Asher Yatzar that we say every time we leave the bathroom, is a bracha comparable to thanking Hashem for Bikurim. We're healthy. Because every time we go to the washroom, we're cleaning our blood. Our blood being cleaned, our kidneys are cleaning the blood, and out comes the toxins that don't belong in the blood, and the body is continuously, every moment, cleaning your blood. I had to go through a procedure where I had to have this bag attached to me. It's called catheterization, something like that. Why? Because they wanted to somehow help. We wanted to get rid of a kidney stone, so I had a procedure done. So for a week, I couldn't go to the washroom properly. I had to have this emptied out. The amazing thing was to me that as soon as I emptied it out, you would think it an hour later you have to fill it up. I can see urine started to fill up again. So I said to myself, well, this is an amazing revelation to me. What's happening in my bladder? Because it was stuck into my bladder so that it wouldn't fill up there, it would fill up in this pouch so it wouldn't upset the kidney stone, and then until they got the kidney stone out, which is in itself modern miracles, that how they did it. Just unbelievable with today's technology. I think it's also an Israeli invention that how they do it. But that's a separate story. But I got to realize there is every second of my living being a miracle that my blood is being cleaned. I didn't realize it until I said, after I've emptied out the pouch, and maybe 4 or 5 minutes later, it's wet again. And it's beginning to fill. Very little, of course, not much. It's an amazing revelation. So when I say Asher Yatzar, and his ad, our rabbi say that if you have kavana, it's capable of helping you be blessed with a healthy body. This is a true and important thing to be considered. You say Asher Yatzar, and you stop and think what you're saying, that thank God I have a healthy body to serve Hashem. I'm not taking that for granted. I don't want to be an ingrat. You are actually helping yourself be blessed with a healthy body, and you can even pray for others for that matter. It's a bracha for health, because the body is so vulnerable at that time for not being healthy. And how many people have to have their blood cleaned by the dialysis machines and all that? So it's something we have to consider, and something which fits so well into play to the discussion we had today so far, that in order to be able to show gratitude to Hashem, you have to be able to have considered the alternatives. Now, I want to share with you a story. I might have said it a while ago, but it's so apropos, and I want to repeat it. The story goes back maybe 17 years ago when I went to the Torah Mitzvah Convention. I mentioned about a story that took place with Suri Friedman. There is a family in Toronto who's related to this particular girl. Suri, I believe her name was Suri. And if not, that story is true, and I know what happened. She was part of a outing towards the end of the year, where the girls, that was a high school group of girls, went for their graduation trip, and they end up going to the natural preserves in Connecticut. And there, they had a fine time until all of a sudden there was a man that looked like he wanted to kidnap the girls, whether he was serious or not. He certainly was a stranger that wasn't a friendly man. And the girls were screaming in horror. And everyone just ran away as fast as they could. After several hours, of course, it took a while till they got back to their coach, which they were going to go back to school. Very, very terrified of what happened. And the roll call was made. And everybody was on the bus except for Suri Friedman. Suri was not there. He said, "Where is Suri?" Everybody was very frightened. Maybe the kidnapper got a hold of her. Finally, they said, "We have to talk to the police." And the state troopers were on the call trying to locate Suri, but they said, "We can't locate Suri in this wooded area. It's 21 or 27 miles of natural wooded area, right? This is a real, what should I say, a real wooded area with animals and maybe robbers and who knows who hung out there in the woods." They said, "We need help. We can't do this alone." So they called all the neighboring camps and all the neighboring yeshivas and all the neighboring communities, and suddenly, all of a sudden, they started pouring into this place to try to help. I think it took place on Tuesday. They couldn't, and there was now with searchlights at night, and there was a whole gimmick of how not to lose people in the meantime, because you have already hundreds of people looking. It would be impossible, you know, to find another person lost in the night. So what happened was they had a whole system, and the following day was round the clock. Next, it was Wednesday. They went out, and now it was, I think, close to 3,000 people were looking for Suri. And it was even on the news that they said, "This unbelievable, thousands of Jews are looking for a strange girl they never met and never saw." The anchor man said, "I wish I was a Jew, that people cared about me like that." And they had all organized in groups that they had to have organized food. The people had to be fed, so caterers kicked in, and of course Hatzalah and the police and the other communities nearby all kicked in. Thursday can't find Surya. Could you imagine what's going through these people's minds? Unbelievable. Surya is not here. Now, where is she going to eat if she's alive? She's running, she ran into, maybe a bear ate her. You know, we're talking about where there's wildlife. Wildlife, I mean bears and tigers, this is not a backyard. 21 or 27 miles, right, of wooded area, right, is a real forest. It's not a game. Who knows, maybe a kidnapper, maybe a robber, maybe an animal, maybe she starved to death. Who knows what went through the people's minds? It's incredible. In the meantime, they figured out that what happened was, since they had so much help at the beginning of the park, that when the girls ran in terror, that she ran the wrong way. And she ran into the forest, not towards the peripheral part of the park, of the forest. So the father, they gave an idea that the father should go into a helicopter, and with a megaphone should speak to his daughter in Yiddish and say, Surala, Surala, Gainish Vaita, Bleib Stein. That means, don't go further, stay where you are, we'll find you. They couldn't see her, but she was able to hear her father. She understood what she did, but she was frightened, she didn't know what to do. Thursday passes, they can't find Surala. Could you imagine the horror? The parents. The families. Thursday night. Can't find Surala since Tuesday. Luckily, Suri was in charge of the knapsacks of food. So when everyone ran, she grabbed the knapsacks and ran the other direction, away from that dangerous person. She is now Friday morning. And who finds her? In Massachusetts, the park is so big, it crossed a state line. So the state police of Massachusetts started to go on the case. And I think there was a female patrol lady noticed up ahead there's a girl standing and swaying, davening. It was in the morning, by a tree stump, a stump of a tree. And they said to each other, that must be the girl. So they came slowly closer and didn't want to frighten her. Are you Suri Friedman? And she nodded, yes. You are safe, don't worry. We'll let your parents know that you are alive and well. I'm telling you this story because now I'm bringing myself into the picture. At that time, I was at the Torah and Masorah Convention. That was upstate New York. And there was a convention of rabbis, a lot of rabbis, of teachers from all over America. And I was there, I was davening Ma'ariv with them, everybody, with maybe 1,000 people. It certainly was maybe 600 to 800. And after Ma'ariv, they said, let's say Tehillim for Suri Friedman. She's not to be found. Maybe Hashem will have mercy. At that moment, I was saying to him with everybody else, this is the clincher. I said to myself, what would have been if the girl Suri was my daughter? How would I feel? That Suri was my daughter. And I was nearly in tears, saying to Tehillim. We finished the Tehillim. The delegate either went to the next session, or they browsed around at the vendors, or whatever they did. And the following morning, when Tzuri was found, one of the leading rabbis of the convention ran through the lobby. I was in the middle talking to somebody. Ran through the lobby of the hotel and just screaming out, "They found her! She's alive! They found her! I don't know anything else, but she's alive and she's well." When I heard that, I had a surge of simcha that I can't describe. I ask you, why did I have a surge of simcha? I don't even know who she is. I could trip over her knee without even knowing that story. The reason why I had a surge of emotional simcha is because I had experienced the pain. When you experience the pain or thought of the alternative, then you have what to thank. If you didn't experience, then there is no... it's not a punishment. That's the fact of life. If you didn't experience the pain, then you wouldn't feel simcha. Had I heard the story Saturday night, and there was a girl that was lost for 4 days, and they found her in the same breath, you think it would have felt like any news report. You found her after you lost. Nice. Good luck. Good luck for the guy. Good luck for the girl. But I didn't have that experience. I have felt the loss. I felt the pain. When we're talking about Parshas Ki Savai, Hashem wants you to think of the alternatives. When you can think the alternative, we could have been killed. And therefore, when you say thank you to Hashem for the Bikurim, don't forget to realize where it really, really started. We have to thank Hashem from the very, very beginning. Perhaps that's why we do give Bikurim without realizing every morning when we say Moda Ani. Our first strength, our first bit of becoming aware of our morning is when we get up, we're awake, we can walk out of bed, and we say, Moda Ani Lefanecha, Melech Chai V'Kayom, Shehechazar Tavid Nishmasi B'Chemla. Rabbi Menasecha, I thank you, Hashem, for returning my soul. On what are we saying that? Our first strength of the day. The very first strength. No different than making a bracha on the first fruit of the year. Have you eaten a fruit you haven't eaten a whole year? The first time you do a mitzvah, as soon as it'll be Tekiyah Shofar, Rosh Hashanah, on the first. The first always has something novel about it. So therefore, Bikurim is no different. We should therefore walk away from this year recognizing that Hashem wants us to be grateful. We are therefore have a mitzvah to make a bracha over the food we eat. There is an additional mitzvah of making 100 brachas a day to thank Hashem 100 times if we can, if possible. We are a thank you people. That's who we are. If you want to describe who we are as Jews, we are a thank you people. Learn to say thank you. And by learning to say thank you, then you fulfill your obligation of being a makir tov, one who recognizes Hashem's goodness. And by that, when you recognize Hashem's goodness, then Hashem blesses you and showers you with more and more. Have a wonderful day.